The Pistons win their first Summer League game against the Portland Trail Blazers by a score of 81-78. What are some of the takeaways from this first game? We'll talk about those in today's episode of the Locked On Pistons podcast.
You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's the deal? Welcome back to another episode of the Locked On Pistons podcast. Per usual, I am your host, Kuka Hill. You can find me over on Twitter, at Kuka Hill. I want to thank you guys for making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. And if you haven't already, head to the YouTube channel, at Locked On Pistons. Hit that subscribe button. It's the best way to support the podcast. On our way to 5,000 subscribers, continuing to show Locked On with the best and fast-growing fan base at the Locked On Network. So I'd really appreciate it. It's the best way to support the podcast. I just want to let you guys know, I'm recording this at 2:36 a.m. Eastern Time. I can't believe they had to stand up this late over on the East Coast for this game. I can't believe that. But yeah, Pistons won this game. I'm sure you guys had some fun with this game. There were some fun spots, but overall, I think this game was a pretty ugly game. This is a prison ball type of game. There was like 5,000 foul calls called. It was rough, and especially for it being such a late game for us, I think it definitely made it a little bit more uglier of a game for us that had to stay up that late. But there were some good takeaways. There was one really bad takeaway, and I'm going to save that for the end of the podcast. But there were a few takeaways, obviously some good ones, that I want to talk about from this game. And the very first one I want to start off with is Isaiah Stewart. And maybe before I dive into Isaiah Stewart personally, let me just say that I think the first few minutes of the game, the Pistons showed how fun they could possibly be this upcoming season with their core of guys. I think already, just through the first few minutes of watching that, you can see that this team should be playing at a fast pace this upcoming season with their main guys in the regular season. They're going to be a good team when they get out and run, when they run in transition and fast break. So I think we should 100% see this team playing a fast pace this season. I know that's something that Dwayne Casey hasn't always done, actually never really has done through his career, but they definitely should be playing fast this season and trying to generate a lot of transition points. And you saw that early with alley-oop dunks to Jalen Duren and fast break, Ivy getting his own alley-oop finishes, and on the break he had a few transitional buckets. So that's one of like overall team takeaways. Even with just a few of the main guys out there, when they get to the regular season, you can just tell that this team needs to play fast in transition. So that's my overall takeaway from the team. So let me talk about Isaiah Stewart now. Okay? I didn't want to just jump into Isaiah Stewart without talking about the game as a whole at all. So Isaiah Stewart, he had 13 points, 9 rebounds. He made 3 threes in this game. He shot 4 of them. He was 4-6 from the field. I thought he played a good game. To be honest, Stu and Killian, I'm going to enjoy watching them for the rest of the summer league. However many more games they play, I'm assuming they'll play a few more games. But I think you saw in this game, like, they don't really need to be here. Killian only had 7 points. He only took 4 shots. But he was just out. He was really just playing off ball. When he had the ball in his hands, he was just making the right play over and over. And them two just look like they know how to play. Obviously, they should. They're third-year players. But it kind of looks at this point like, yeah, they could probably get something out of playing, but they don't really need to be here. I think you saw that already through the first game. But overall, Isaiah Stewart, there's a few things that he did that I really liked. Obviously, the 3 three-pointers that he hit was really good to see. He looks extremely confident in that shot. He had one really bad miss. I thought, oh, God, okay, that I don't know if this is going to go well. But he went on to make his next 2 attempts. He continued to shoot the ball anytime they gave him space. He shot it. His very first three was somewhat of a contested three that he caught instantly and shot it and ripped the net. So it's quite clear that he feels confident in his shot. Last year, you saw that he was a little bit scared to let the shot go for the majority of the season. Doesn't look like that's the case with his jumper now. Looks like he's incredibly confident and feels good with his jump shot mechanics to let it rip, and he knows that that's going to have to be a point of emphasis with this game this upcoming season with how they've talked about him being a stretch four. It's only one game through Summer League, but that looked incredibly impressive outside shooting. Not just, again, we talked about in the last podcast, not just him making the shots. Obviously, him making it made it even more impressive, but the confidence in which he shot them, Every time they gave him space, he let it go. That's what I wanted to see. I wanted to see an emphasis on that. And they played him at the four with Jalen Duren in the starting lineup. He had a lot of minutes at the four position. I liked seeing that. We talked about that on the podcast as well. That's why I wanted to see all of his minutes come from, because that was really the only purpose that he'd get out of the summer league. So that I really like seeing that. Obviously, I thought those were obviously those three made threes were really nice to see. There were some other things though that he really did nice in this game that I wanted to hit on. He had two really nice short roll passes. And if you guys remember, I believe last week we talked about this. There's other things that he's going to have to do as a four. If they actually play him at the four, there's other things he's going to have to do as a four to survive out there and actually be good out there. And the three-point shooting, obviously, but the short roll passing is what we talked about as well. And while he didn't have any like short roll lob passes that a lot of people think immediately come with short roll passing, you know, the Draymond lob to a center over in the Warriors that they do all the time. He had two kickouts to the corner, one to the corner, I believe, and the other one was kind of towards the wing, that were quick reads. Last year when he got in the short roll in the regular season, it's a summer league game. I don't want anyone to overreact too much to it any other way, whether it's good or bad. So don't take it completely all the way to the bank and think, oh, it's right there, it's cashed in, he's great at it. But he showed quick processing on these short reads, accurate passes, and knew exactly where to go. Last year, he took a little while to make these passes, to make these reads, and by the time he made the reads, it just wasn't open anymore. These two passes that he made out of the short roll were really crisp, really on point, and he made the read and understood what the play was instantly. I love seeing that. That was probably I'm a nerd with this kind of stuff. I'm sure some of you guys may have missed it, but that's the kind of thing that I absolutely love seeing. That's the kind of thing I think makes a team go, and one of the little tiny things that you absolutely have to have on your team. So to be honest, those two passes really impressed me more than his outside shooting for me. I'm just like I said, I'm a nerd about this stuff. So the outside shooting, obviously a plus. It was really good to see him hit these shots with confidence and let them go. Again, four attempts, good to see. But those two short roll passes that he had when he was put in that situation and how quickly he made that pass, how quickly he made that read, I absolutely loved seeing it. It was my favorite thing about what I saw from him tonight. It obviously was a little funny to see that he got technical. I think if you had to bet on anybody getting a technical foul in the summer league, I think Isaiah Stewart probably would be at the top of the list of the guys you probably guess would get a technical in the summer league. So that was pretty funny to see. But yeah, man, I thought Isaiah Stewart played a nice game. I think he showed that, you know, he could play the rest of the summer league, just playing four, getting more reps at the four and getting more shots up in game action. But I think he and also Killian show that they don't really need this. This isn't really going to do much for them. Maybe I take that back. It won't do much for them, because getting game action threes up and all that, that can obviously do something for them. It's better than getting wide open threes in a gym, just shooting 100 threes, obviously. But you guys get what I'm saying. I think Isaiah Stewart showed that he doesn't need to be here. Like, he's very clearly better than everybody here. And as they should be, they're third-year players. But I think that's what you wanted to see, and that's good. And they did show that. So, Isaiah Stewart, nice game. Nice game. I liked what I saw from him. When we come back, we'll talk about some other players I thought really impressed. Obviously, we'll talk about Jay and Ivy. I'm sure you guys thought maybe I'd start off with Jay and Ivy, but to be honest, I was a little bit more impressed with Isaiah Stewart. I wanted to give him props. I thought he deserved to have the opening segment, I'm not going to lie. So that's just where I went with it. But then obviously, we'll talk about Jay and Ivy coming up. But first, I have to tell you guys about one of our sponsors. This one is going to be a Truebill. Do you know why free trials renew without your consent? It's a business scam out to get you. Don't let greedy corporations pocket your money. Download Truebill to take control of your subscriptions. Truebill is a new app that helps you identify and stop paying for subscriptions you don't need, want, or simply forgot about. On average, people save up to $720 a year with Truebill. Because companies can make subscriptions hard to cancel, Truebill makes it incredibly simple. Just link your accounts and Truebill will cancel your unwanted subscriptions in just one tap. And your Truebill concert is there when you need them to. Cancel unwanted subscriptions so you don't have to. Truebill has over 2 million users, I should say, and helps save them save over $100 million. Like Matthew B., who says, quote, "In a matter of seconds, I saved $660 for the year on my DirecTV bill, saved $120 for the year on my Sirius XM bill, and saved $840 a year on car insurance," end quote. So don't fall for the subscription scams. Start canceling today at Truebill.com/LockedOnNBA. Go right now Truebill.com/LockedOnNBA. It could save you thousands a year. So I want to thank you guys again for making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every single day. We're free and available on all your podcast platforms. And if you have not already, head to the YouTube channel at Locked On Pistons. Hit that subscribe button. It's the best way to support the podcast. On our road to 5,000 subscribers, continuing to show Locked On with the best and fastest growing fan base at the Locked On Network. So again, if you want to find the best way to support the podcast, hit the subscribe button over at the YouTube channel. So we talked a little bit about Isaiah Stewart, obviously. Let's go ahead and talk about Jaden Ivey. Jaden Ivey ended the game with 20 points, 6 rebounds, and 6 assists. He also had 5 turnovers in this game. He shot 6 of 14 from the field, 2 of 5 from deep, and 6 of 6 from the free throw line. What did I think about his first game? I guess you can say somewhat playing in a Pistons uniform. Summer League doesn't really matter or count. But somewhat semi-professional basketball for the Pistons, I guess you'd say. I thought it was a little uneven. I think he saw some of the things he's going to have to get better at, some of the things that he struggles with. I also thought you saw where he excels at, where he's going to be really good at out the gate. I think you got a decent dose of both of those things. To be honest, I like it better like that. I like the fact that it was very clearly on display what it is he has to get better at, what it is he's already good at, rather than, you know, his weaknesses kind of getting hit in the summer league and then coming out in the NBA season. At least for a guy like me, I like breaking it down, seeing it ahead of time and knowing what we need to see improvements from. And I think you got a decent chunk of both of those things. So let's talk about some of the things that were really good that you liked seeing from Jaden Ivey. I'm sorry. For those of you guys watching on YouTube, my earrings are in and they're messing with my ears. I keep messing with it. Anyways, some of the positives I liked seeing from Jaden Ivey today or last night when you guys listened to this, or would it even be last night? I stayed up till 2:30 because this game took forever. These refs didn't care at all that we all on the East Coast were up 3 hours longer than we wanted to be. But anyways, so the first thing with Jaden Ivey that I think was very clearly on display, and I think this is something we all knew beforehand, is that he's just so much better in transition and so much better when you push the pace and he gets to attack an unready or unorganized defense, I should say. And that's something that I think he's going to have a lot of chances to do, not just in transition, but with Cade Cunningham creating a lot of the action for him. Now, tonight, there was someone else who occupied the ball a lot in their hands. I'm going to save him for the final segment because it was historic what we watched last night. But anyways, my point is that when Cade Cunningham's going to be occupying the ball in the regular season, he's going to be creating advantages with defenses trying to rotate to him all the time. And I think Jaden Ivey's really going to excel in those situations off ball because that's when he can really use his athleticism, his first step, and his ability to draw fouls and get into the lane like that. And I think you saw that already on display in summer league. He's able to get to his spot quick as hell. And I actually tweeted this during the game. Just already watching summer league, you can tell that he's going to draw a lot of fouls, probably a lot of blocking fouls. He's going to have to learn how to turn those into like shooting fouls. You know, how the savvy veterans, like as soon as they feel a bump, they throw a shot up so he can get free throws out of it. But he's going to draw a lot of those fouls simply because he's going to beat the guy to the spot like probably 9 times out of 10. He drew so many fouls and probably another handful of fouls that should have been called. This was, like I said, it was prison ball out here. But his first step's so quick. When he goes to get to the rim, he's beating the defender to the spot, and they always are coming in late and bumping him. That's a foul. That's a foul every time. He's going to be drawing a lot of fouls off of that. Either they're going to foul him doing it, or they're going to have to just open up and let him get to the rim. Because I think this is basic basketball 101 if you've ever played or if you watch it at all, is that once the offensive player beats you and gets to the spot, you can't bump him off pace. If you do that, it's a foul, or you have to choose to let him go. And Jaden Ivey has that first step and that athleticism where he's getting to that spot before the defender almost every single time. You saw that tonight on display. And I really like seeing that. That says a good thing for the Pistons because they need a guy who can draw free throws. I think Cade will eventually be able to draw free throws, but you guys saw last year we spent the entire season begging for him to get foul calls. I don't think that'll be the case with Jaden Ivey. I think he's going to get foul calls pretty easily and pretty quickly for the Pistons. Doesn't need to get the 5-year veteran respect of the referees. I think his are going to be pretty clear with how quickly he beats guys to the spot. So that's one of the biggest positives I saw from him. Obviously, He's super fun in transition and fast break, threw down a few alley-oop dunks, had another driving dunk. Just a super uber athletic guy who really can get to the rim whenever he, maybe not say whenever he wants, but can get there almost 9 times out of 10, like I was saying, simply because he's just so quick. You guys know I don't watch a lot of college basketball. I just don't like watching it. So seeing him for real for the first time live, all the talk about him being explosive, 100%. He is explosive as hell. He gets to his spots pretty quickly. But now this is where I kind of want to. Oh, and also his outside shot, he definitely seems like he's trying to show that he has confidence in it. His misses were really bad misses, like really bad misses. But his two makes were nice to see, and he also had another one waved off because he kicked his feet out. I thought it was a bogus call, but it was good to see him shoot that through with confidence. And try to show that he's working on it. Whether, the misses were pretty bad, like I said. Either way, same thing with Killian Hayes and Isaiah Stewart. I like seeing the fact that he has confidence to get it up and is not scared to shoot the ball. So, like seeing that part of it. But there were some negatives, or maybe, I don't want to call them negatives. Let me not call them negative, but things you saw that he obviously needs to improve on. Some of the weaknesses in this game. And I think the first thing is, You immediately point to his 5 turnovers, and a lot of them came on him. Let me say it like this. Everyone wants Killian to look to score more. I want to see Killian look to score more. He looks to pass first. A lot of Jaden Ivey's turnovers in this game, I think you're going to see a lot of these turnovers happen in the regular season. It's something he's going to have to learn and grow into. He obviously has a lot of ways to go as a main ball handler, but a lot of these turnovers came from him looking to score first. And there's another guy, again, like I said, we're going to talk about in the final segment, that really just, it was rough. But both of them, they kind of struggled making the read that was there. A lot of times they got to the paint, the kick to the corner was open, and they would take too long to see the read, end up making the second read, and turn the ball over. That was an area that was repeatedly on display that he needs to improve on in the first half. Now, he did a little bit of a better job of it in the second half, but in the first half, he was really struggling seeing the defense and knowing what was the play to make. And I think a lot of it had to do with the fact he was looking to score, and get to the rim. That's something that he's going to have to improve on, obviously, in his rookie season and throughout his NBA career. But that was something you saw on display that he's going to have to improve on very quickly. The other thing, and this is something that was on his scouting report, is that he struggles in between. If he can't get all the way to the rim, he's kind of relying on a foul call. He doesn't really, you can tell that he doesn't really know what to do in between the 3-point line and the rim. And I'm not just talking about like pull up mid range shots. Like there was one play when he drove to the rim and kind of jump stopped around the dotted line. And instead of just getting a quick floater up, because he got the space, or a quick pull up midi, if you want to do that, or a runner, whatever you wanted him to do. He kind of hesitated and then tried to do an up or under, and it just wasn't open, and he got himself stuck in no man's land. Again, a lot of these turnovers, not only was it because he was looking to score, but it's because once he got in between those areas, he didn't really know what to do, and he was still looking to just like put his head down, keep bumping people to the basket. Again, that's an area that he's going to have to improve on, and you saw immediately that's his area of weakness. He's going to have to get better at that. But those two areas are the two things I saw instantly with him that he's, again, are weaknesses that he's going to have to get better at. But the positive, he's going to be really fun to watch, I think. I mean, the team isn't going to be very good this year, I don't think. I think they're still going to be like a bottom five team in the NBA. But at least with Jaden Ivey, it's going to be a fun team, I think. It's going to be a fast team. It's going to be a select team. They're going to get a lot of dunks. They're going to get a lot of highlight plays. He even had one play when he tried to do the Magic Johnson little fake behind the back, pass the other way with the pass behind his back. It was a super dope pass. A little bit off mark, and I forget who it was in the corner. They missed the shot, but it was cool to see him get cocky like that and try to attempt a pass like that. It kind of gives you an idea of what you're going to see for this Pistons team in the future. They're going to try some things. They're going to be fun. They're going to be fast. They're going to be athletic. So I think that's the main thing you can take away from his game, is that he's going to be a lot of fun to watch. So I thought it was a little bit of an uneven performance from him. Not a big deal. It's summer league, obviously. Like this is what it's for. You're supposed to work on your game. No way am I trying to say that I was disappointed in his performance. He ended the game with 26-6, but I think again, you saw where he excels. when the defense is kind of discombobulated and trying to get set before they get set, I should say, in transition, semi-transition, fast break. That's where he's really going to excel at. Getting to the free throw line, drawing fouls, going to excel at it. But obviously, he has to work on his in-between game, decision-making, making the right reads, processing, all those things, is things he's going to have to improve on with the ball in his hands this upcoming season for the Pistons. And also his defense, which I think we expect of all young guys coming out of college into the NBA, it wasn't good. But that's – I'm not going to spend too much time talking about his defense, because a lot of rookies, most rookies are terrible defensively coming into the NBA, especially guards. So it's very rare you see one that's just great defensively, like Herb Jones. It's very rare to get one of those kind of guys. And Jaden Ivey's just like other young players. So I'm not going to talk about his defense. No point. If I had to grade his performance, I think it was a solid B. I think it was a solid B performance. And I'm interested to see how he does the next year. I think he's going to get better and better. Again, like I said, in the second half, he started to play a little bit better. He started to play, make better decisions with the ball. He started to adjust. I really like to see that. That's really good to see that he started to adjust, see the defense, and learn how to play against it. That was really nice to see. So I think it was a solid B game. I'm interested to see how he plays the next game. Again, a lot of fun. When we come back, though, I'm going to have to rant to you guys. What are we at right now? 21 minutes? We're going to have to rant for a few minutes about a specific player that does absolutely I don't know if it was a combination of it being like so late and him also doing one of the most historic sabotage jobs I've ever seen. I don't know if it was a combination of those things or if the sabotaging was just so awful. It was just that in and of itself. But we'll talk about that when we come back. I have to rant about that. But first, I have to tell you guys about one of our sponsors, BetOnline.net. BetOnline.net is your number one source for all your sports betting needs and sports info. Find all the latest sports developments, league reviews, and news, including this year's NHL playoffs and Major League Baseball. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sporting wagering information, including live betting, esports, and scores. BetOnline.net remains the best spot for all your sports scores, podcasts, and news this season. BetOnline.net is the fastest and easiest way to check out all your favorite sports and events, including MMA, boxing, and golf. And just like I said, all of your favorite sports. So when the NFL season comes back, you got football, you got college football, basketball, college basketball. You even got tennis, all kinds of sports. Go make sure you're constantly checking out BetOnline.net. You'll see all the things they can have for you over there to have fun with. And if you head to the basketball section, you can see you can get a head start next season looking at who's the favorite for next season. Favorite for MVP, favorite for Rookie of the Year, favorite for worst team in the league. All those things already over at BetOnline.net. Make sure you guys are checking it out. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about their trends and action today. BetOnline, where the game starts. So I want to thank you guys again for making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. And if you have not already, head to the YouTube channel at Locked On Pistons. Hit that subscribe button. It's the best way to support the podcast. I'd really appreciate it. Again, if you want to find the best way to support the podcast, hit that subscribe button. All right. So, before I go into my rant, it would be messed up if I didn't include talking about some of these guys who I thought played really well. Jalen Duren. I thought Jalen Duren showed instantly, catching multiple lobs, having a few blocks. I thought he instantly showed what it is he's going to bring to the table, what he is going to be good at, and what he brings to the Pistons that they've been lacking. It's going to be interesting to see how the training camp battles go, how he plays the rest of the summer league. If he does play, I believe that I saw that he only played 12 minutes. I believe it was because he was dealing with a little bit of an injury. I don't think we were told what it was, but they said that the trainers were looking at him. So I don't know if he ends up playing the rest of the summer league, but if he does, it'd be interesting to see how he plays the rest of the summer league. But also in the training camp, I want to hear how he's playing in training camp against the big guys, because he brings something to the table that the Pistons haven't had. Guy who's going to rim protect, block shots, and an uber athletic guy who's going to be slamming down highlight dunks, highlight alley-oops, put pressure on the rim all the time. Heck, the first play of the game for the Pistons was a lob to Jalen Duren coming down the baseline in the dunker spot, cutting down. It was a fantastic play. Highlight dunk. I loved what I saw from Duren. I think he's really going to put pressure. I'm trying not to overreact too much to Summer League, but simply because, not just because of what he showed in Summer League, but because of his archetype, I think he's going to be putting pressure on the Pistons to probably look to play him sooner than later. simply because of what he's going to be bringing in his toolbox. It just isn't something the Pistons have at their disposal outside of Nerlens Noel, which I think it sounds like that they want to play him, but the big man room's so confusing right now that I wouldn't be shocked if they move him or Kelly Olynyk still, even though it sounds like they want to keep him. So Duren, I thought he played fine. Killian Hayes, we talked about him a little bit, just a little bit earlier in the episode. He only took 4 shots, so it definitely wasn't what I wanted, but you'll see why that was when I get to my rant. Overall, though, I think he showed that he's just he's kind of a little bit of the same thing with Isaiah Stewart, that he can get these reps in. If you want him to get reps in as a scorer, you want him to get shots up, which it doesn't seem like that's the case. They played him off ball a ton and let someone else operate the ball a lot. Like I said, we'll talk about a little bit more. But it just looked like that he just doesn't really need to be out there. When he did get the ball, he was just picking them apart in the pick and roll, making the right read over and over. He had like 5 highlight passes in the first half. I don't think there's really a need for him. I think he showed that he's just better than everybody on the floor, even without taking more than 4 shots. It's not what I wanted to see. I wanted to see him have the ball in his hands and ask to go score more. But that wasn't the position they had him in this first game. And I think in his, what they wanted him to do, I think he just showed, like, I think Isaiah Stewart and him clearly looked like third-year players is basically what I'm saying. They looked like they were the third-year players on the floor. If they start him and Isaiah Stewart down the rest of Summer League, I wouldn't be shocked. I think they'll probably still play a few more games, but if they did shut him down, I would get it, because they looked like the third-year players out there, and that's what you wanted to see. So he ended the game with 7 points, 4 assists, 3 rebounds. Again, the box score isn't great because, I'll talk about it soon, but when he did have the ball in his hands and they put him in the pick and roll with Duren and Astu, and he was operating the transition, he was just picking them apart, making the right read over and over. I don't really see the point. If this is how they want to play him, if they're trying to give the opportunity of all the on-ball reps and and all the scoring reps to Jane Ivey, and I'll go ahead and spoil who my rant's about to be about, Saben Lee. If that's what they're trying to do, then okay, go ahead. But I think unless you're going to get Killian Hayes a scoring reps and ask him to score and put him in positions to be like the main ball handler, I think he's already shown that he's the third-year guy. He's better than these guys. He just shouldn't be out there then. Isaiah Livers, he shot bad from the floor, 1 of 8, 3 of 10, 1 of 8 from deep, 3 of 10 from the floor. But I thought his defense was actually pretty impressive. He had a few blocks that were really nice to see. He's a better shooter than he showed tonight, so I'm not really worried about that. I think he showed that he's coming for those minutes and potentially a starting spot in the starting lineup if they try to go with more spacing at the 4 and start Stu at the 5. I don't know, but overall, he didn't shoot well, but I thought he still showed good things. I don't think we expect Isaiah Livers to shoot 1 of 8 from deep again, so no big deal there. Did I get all the positives out the way? Let me check. Let me look around. Let me look at my notes. Okay, rant time. I got at 28 minutes. I'm going to try to keep it to like 3 minutes. Saben Lee put on one of the worst performances I've ever seen in a basketball uniform in my entire life. I have to believe he was doing it on purpose. It was historic stuff I was seeing. You could not make this up. Like the best screenwriter of all time. I don't know who they are. Who's the dude that created Star Wars? I forget what his name. George Lucas. George Lucas couldn't write this. Couldn't make this up. Shakespeare couldn't make this. Like this was some historic stuff that this man Saben Lee was out here doing. He shot 1 of 8 from the floor, but had 13 points in this game because he shot 13 free throws. His usage rate was probably over 40%. I have never in my life seen a player. Let me just say this. He got blocked on one of these drives to the rim. This one explain exactly how I'm feeling to a T. After 3 quarters of being a full-on sabotage to the Detroit Pistons and what they were trying to do out there, and at least what I think they were trying to do out there, I have to believe he was going off script. There's no way I believe that Saben Lee, this is what they wanted him to do. It was said that the coaches on the sideline, Dwayne Casey and the rest of the main coaching staff, were screaming for him to move the ball. He didn't care. He gave them the middle finger, kept doing what he wanted to do. It was a play. He drove to the rim. 3 dudes wide open. Still went for a lip, and he got his swatted to the 3rd row. And I don't think there is another time in Pistons history before that I've watched. And I don't think there will ever be a moment in Pistons history moving forward where I'll be as happy as I was to see a Piston player get blocked in my life. I have never been happier to see a Piston player get swatted than I was that game. All right, that play right there. The entire game, Saban Lee didn't look to pass the ball. At first I thought, okay, maybe his vision just got worse. Maybe he got worse as a playmaker. Maybe he's just not getting better. But then after the 20th time of it happening, I had to assume he was doing it on purpose. He had to have been doing it on purpose. He must be purposely trying to get cut in 2 hours. He must be trying his hardest for me to wake up in the morning to a Saban Lee has been cut by the Detroit Pistons notification sent to my phone. That's how horrific he was playing. He got Isaiah Stewart a few moving screen calls because he was just going too fast instead of waiting. He looked off Jaden Ivey and Killian Hayes a numerous amount of times. Dudes were wide open in the corner next to him. Heck, there was one play he was dribbling up the court, literally off a make basket from the Portland Trailblazers. He gets inbound of the ball. He's just walking the ball up the court. Jaden Ivey's wide open in the corner. The defenders of Portland are talking to each other. They don't understand this guy wide open in the corner. Jaden Ivey's literally doing jumping jacks in the corner, clapping for the ball. And Saban Lee takes 6 seconds to get him the ball. By the time he gets in the ball, defenders there. Now Jaden Ivey has to try and drive into traffic and score. You couldn't make this up. I'm telling you, if you did not watch last night's game, if you did not watch the Summer League game, you have to watch it simply for the pure comedy. I have to believe it was in an effort to be funny. It had to have been in an effort to be hilarious. You have to go back and watch it. Make sure you have some tissues on the side because you'll be having tears running down your cheeks. I could not believe what I was seeing from Saban Lee out there. How much of the time on the ball he was using up. I've never seen it before. I seriously cannot believe what I watched. I've never seen it before in my life. I haven't. I have to believe he went off script. I have to believe he went completely off script. There's no way that was like part of the plan. It wasn't. There's no way. 1 of 8 from the field. 2 turnovers. I don't know how he didn't have 5 more. Like, it was like, I couldn't believe it, dude. Those of you guys who watched it, you guys know exactly what I'm talking about. It was some pure historic stuff that Saban Lee was doing out there. I have never seen it before. All it took was 4 quarters. Summer League Saban Lee, you know how they say Hoodie Mello? You know how they say all these other guys? You know, what was it? What's the gym called? Jim Mello, the gym he's always shooting at? You got, what's the Untucked Kyrie or whatever? There's a Summer League Saban. And 4 quarters of Summer League Saban was enough for him to leap all the way to the top and supplant DeLon Wright as the most unpleasant players for me to watch in Pistons history. In a Pistons uniform, he has leaped to the top, and all it took was 4 quarters of Saban Lee Summer League Saban. Oh, my goodness, dude. He literally made this game so tough to watch. Every time he played in 25, he played more minutes than Killian. 25 minutes out here, and when he was on the floor, he made it seem like it was 40 minutes because of how much he dominated the ball. Like, all you could do is laugh, dude. It was a stand-up comedy session by Saban Lee yesterday, dude. I couldn't believe it. I respect it, though. We'll wrap up the podcast, but I can respect it in this sense. He played like how I probably would play if I got a chance. If you said, hey, you get 1 chance to play in the NBA tomorrow, here's your shot. You're going to get 25 minutes. We're going to put the ball in your hands. I'd do the same thing. If I knew that was my only, I'd get as many shots as possible up. I'd get so many shots up. I'd be out there looking for me, looking to feed myself. I can respect it, though. I can respect it on that level. Every other level, I can't respect it even a little bit. But those are my takeaways from last night's game, man. Let me know what you guys thought about last night's game in the comment section down below. Oh, my goodness. In the comment section down below or over on Twitter at Kukahill if you're listening on the podcast versions. I will see you guys with an episode on Saturday. We have a special guest coming on that hasn't been on the podcast thus far. It's going to be a lot of fun. Can't wait for it. Oh, my goodness, dude. That man saved me. Until next time, man, I'll see you guys later. Thank you, guys. Make Lockdown Pistons your first listen of every single day. And until next time, man. Go Pistons, and please, for the love of God, not again Saturday night. Not again Saturday night. I'll see you guys later. Peace out, everybody.